Okay, so again, just a quick recap of some facts here. So we're dealing with, again, Rechista. I guess we might as well. Rechista says if you mazik manas kohen your potter, if you damage manas kohen your potter, because different reasons. One reason is because it's mamon shein l'tovim, which means that no individual kohen has a right as chus manas kohen. It's chus to the shevet, and therefore to the unit, and therefore no individual could be a tovaya, right? But if you were to say that the Torah gave it this chus to an individual, then that individual would be able to be a tovaya. You'd be able to claim the matan. Okay, so the Gemara choice is trying to attack that and say, no, no, no. Really, an individual was given this chus, and the individual could be tovaya. So how does it prove it? It tries to prove it because this thing says, there's a brisa which says, matanos are din, which means, basically, zeyem mishpat ha-kohana. Mishpat means it's din. Mishpat, there's a subject, there's an aspect of din, which means dayanim get involved. What's the involvement of dayanim if not for the fact that you could sue the guy and he could collect? The Kohen could sue the Israel and he could collect. So doesn't that prove them that it's a din? Right? So the Gemara wants to say, and not only that, another thing, one of the same Brisa also says, which we'll get to later, is that but you may think Chaz of Ashok also is din in that regard. So the Gemara says, no, Chaz of Ashok are different, because that Yemish Berakonim, this, the Matanos, but not Chaz of Ashok. Chaz of Ashok is not din. That's what the Brisa says, that there's a certain aspect of din in Matanos, but not in, you know, but not by Chaz of Ashok. Right? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, it means that the Torah gave by the matanos, the Torah gave the individual kohen his chus of collecting. Right? By chaz v'shok, the Torah didn't. Because like Rashi says that it's not common that the guy is going to withhold it anyways. Probably he's going to give it anyways. The Torah didn't have to do that. The Torah just left it as his chus to the shevet. But by regular matanos, where there's a tendency of person's not going to give it, so therefore the Torah gave it, made it his chus of the yachid. Okay, but the Rashi just said is the person's not going to withhold the matanos, the chaz v'shok, because it's like ritzoy kapara, a guy's not going to do that. But by matanos, it's just full and a guy's going to do it. So the Torah, so it sounds like the Rashi is saying is the Torah gave it as chus to the individual, and therefore you should be able to collect it. In which case, you have a kasha, because now why it's kasha Rav Chista, or at least the learning Rav Chista is saying that mazik mazikun is potter because it's in Latov. It's in Latov. I guess if you learn the other reason, that the reason why you're part of your mazik manas kuna is because that teaches you that you only have to pay the matanos and not damages, so then it's not a kasha, because you could say, okay, fine, this din means the individual coin could be toveya the matanos. Right? Maybe he could be a toveya the matanos. It's just that all Ruchissa is saying is the mazik is father. So right, this question is, why is Ruchissa saying your father? Is he saying your potter because that means that really the individual kohen should be able to collect it? The only thing is, as the Torah says, there's no tashlomen, only the matanos and no tashlomen. So then, but for the matanos themselves, it would seem he could be tevayah. So then it's not a kasha, this brisa, because it says it's din, fine, so he could collect it. It's talking about the matanos, it's not talking about mazik. But if you say that the reason why, if your mazik is going to your potter, is because it's ein lotovim, means the individual of the kohen doesn't have a schus, it's a schus to the shevet, so then I don't care if it's matanos or if it's the damages. Either way, it's really the same problem. He shouldn't be able to be tevaya. So what does it mean when it says the matanos are din? Right? So it seems like that's what it's doing. It's trying to resolve between the two ways to learn. You know? I mean, it's interesting. Later on, it's not clear. So it's funny in this Gemara, is these tashmas. Some of them seem to be trying to attack Rav Chista. Some of them seem to be resolving between the two explanations for Rav Chista. But this one seems to be trying to prove it can't be because they don't love him. So the Gemara wants to say, no, maybe it means something else. Maybe Matanos' din does not mean that an individual coin has chas. Does not mean that. It's really a din in the Sheva. Right? So what does it mean din? What does it mean din? What does it mean din? Din sounds like it means that the Kohen could be Tavaya. So it says the case is where the Kohen got the Matanos already. So let's say, I'm going to follow the steps of the Gemara. Let's say, you already gave him the matanos. And then, you take them back. So then it means the Kohen could be Tavayu and Den. There's Den. So the Gemara says, of course, it's Pasha. You're just basically stealing his stuff. You give him the matanos, it's his. And then you take it back. I mean, that's, of course you could be Tavayu in the court. That's just the Goslin. You're just stealing his stuff. It's his. You already gave it to him. So you don't have to teach me that. So it says, no, it means that if the Kohen, and here's the point, that the Kohen takes the animal, when the animal is whole, before the matanos are cut out, he grabs the animal. He makes a kinyan on the animal. Sometimes by him, he makes a kinyan on the entire animal for the matanos. So So then, it's saying is, then that kinyan works, even though the animal, the matanos, aren't yet separated out. Right, even though it's not separated out, it hasn't been cut off. But the old matanos shelo hormu kamisho hormu damian, which means the matanos which haven't yet been separated, lifted up, removed, are as if they are removed. It says if they are removed, and therefore the kohen's kinyan in the matanos works, and therefore he has a kinyan in the matanos kohen, in the zrola chayim keva. And therefore, if the kohen now the Yisrael takes it and starts chopping the animal up, if he tries to withhold the kavod, the matanos, from the kohen, so the kohen could sue him, because he already has a kinyan. He was zocha, and it rashes zocha, and it from hefker. It was, so to speak, hefker to the kohanim, any kohen, because I guess the shevet has chas in it, and he was kohana, because manashloh, and ashloh, and mishon, and I mean, he's kohana, and that's it, so now he could sue him. And that's somehow what Mishpat is teaching you, that the kohen has a right to sue him in such a case. But if you were to say matan shlomo lav kamisho medamian, you say that if they're not separated, then they're not separated. Then there is no zerol chayim v'keva. It's an animal. It's an entire animal which belongs to the Yisrael. So then, what do you mean? He grabbed them. He can't pick it up. He has no zchus in it. He can't. Right? They're simply not. They're not there. Nothing to be gone. So then, he's basically it's not his. And then you would have said that if the Yisrael takes him, they can't sue him. So that's what Mishpat is teaching you. Mishpat is teaching you that there is an aspect of din. What's the aspect of din? It's a funny case, but if the Kohen grabs the animal while it's still whole, then he'll have a kinyan in it, and then if the Yisrael withholds it, then the animal will get involved. But that's what it's teaching you. But that doesn't apply by Chaz v'Shok, because Chaz v'Shok, Rashi says, is not a right, doesn't belong to the whole Sheva, to all Kohanim. It's not a hefker to all Kohanim, but it only is to that base of. Who's on duty in the base mikdash at that time. And therefore, somehow, you don't say this play for whatever reason. And that's a different problem. Hopefully we'll get that later. Okay, so, but it boils down to a question here. Machlokas, there is a machlokas of whether you say matanos shalom kumisho andami. Do you say the matanos, which before they're separated apart, you say it like they're separated apart and now the Kohen can make his kinyan on it, and he could just pick it up? Or do you say, no, you don't say that. They're not separated, they're nothing. One other fact which is relevant is that another case of Matan Shalom HaKamisha HaMadamian is if I steal a tevel, produce that has not yet been taken off Shumas Maishas, if I damage the tevel of Yisrael, so how much do I owe him? Because the part of it, so to speak, isn't his, he doesn't have rights to it. So if you say matana shalohormu kulav kamishu hormadamian, so then basically this tevel is true and I should mixed in, but now right now it's grain, it's 100% his, and I damaged 100% of his grain, so I'm chayv to pay him 100%. But if you say matana shalohormu kamishu hormadamian, so then it's like he doesn't have a right in that's one or whatever percentage. So it's like I don't owe him that, I only owe him the chul and shabbat. Because it's kamishu hormadamian, they haven't yet been separated, but it's as if they're separated. I'm not really damaging that to him. Right? So that's another nafkamin of the case, the Matan Shalom HaKamishon HaMadamin, which is not even, the coin didn't even grab it yet. And still you're saying Matan Shalom HaKamishon HaMadamin. Coin's grabbing it, I think, is only going to be valuable to give it to him. See, in the case of to Potter, you from Tashlumin to the guy who you damage. So once it belongs to the Shevet of Gehuna, then you don't have to pay him damages. So you'll say Kalisha Harmadamian and the Shevet or whatever has a right to it. So now I'm not going to pay the Yisrael. But in our case, for any individual to sue, so then he has to actually make a kinyan on it, because it's very nice the Shevet is whatever, but why are you suing me? So yeah, but once he grabs it, then he becomes the guy and the Shevet is taking it. So then he can sue you. You know, so that's why I think it's yeah, but the point is, Matan Shalom HaKamisha HaMadamian is not dependent upon the coin actually picking it up. That's what I think is you could take from there. Right, and Rashi said that one other thing Rashi in condition said is because they're all made to be given. Shumas Maaser, since they're Shalom, they haven't yet been separated, but it's all made to be separated. It's ready to do it, you just have to do it. So then it's HaKamisha HaMadamian. Again, I'm thinking like this. Okay, maybe we'll mention you sorry afterwards, but I'm thinking that question comes down to how how do you view the chiyuv? It's kind of tied into what we've been talking about for a while. It's like the relationship between the mitzvah and the din of amanas here, amanas guna. Okay. How do you view the interplay here? Do you say, like, what did the Torah do? There's two ways to look at it. You could say the Torah gave the Kohen a zechus mamon in your staff. Okay? The Torah did that. Okay? The Torah did that. The Kohanim own have a zechus in Zerach Chaim Kevas of the Jews. And your mitzvah is simply to realize that zechus mamon. They really have a kinyan in it. The kuna has a kinyan in your thing. Okay, you shucked an animal, that belongs to the kuna. Now, your mitzvah is to be mafresh it and to give it over, to realize it, to enable it, you know, to bring it to fruition through separating them off, cutting off those parts of the animal, and then giving it to the kohen of your choice, or whatever, right? But it's like the Torah generated this chasmama. And saying the Kohen owns 10% of your stuff. The lady owns 10% of your stuff. You process your wheat, the Torah created this moment. He has this chus in it. Your mitzvah is to bring that to this chus moment to fruition. Normally, if I owe someone money, it may or may not be a mitzvah. It just could be dina mamonis. Here, the Torah made a mitzvah out of giving the matana. Giving the matana is, so to speak, giving him his thing. You know, that's the nature of the Simas Matanas. It's the Torah gave him this last moment, but it's like realizing that it's his, even though you felt like you processed it and you whatever, realizing that the Torah made it his, and acting in line with that and handing it over. Okay, but it's his. It's his. When it emerges, it's his. It's his thing. You don't own the whole animal. He owns part of the animal. Okay? Or do you say, that's one way of looking at it. Okay, that's Kamisha Ramadanya. Okay, it's his, and that's why if someone damages the stuff, so it doesn't. He's not damaging 100% yours. It's not 100% yours. You're not 100% owner. You're only 90% owner. He's damaging the other stuff belongs to the Kohen, the Kuna, the Levi, whatever. Okay, and therefore also, if the Kohen grabs it, a particular Kohen grabs it, he's Kohen it, because it basically belongs to the Sheva. Now which Kohen? So whatever. Whichever one grabs it, he's Konet. Because in terms of Mamonis, it belongs to the Kohen. Now, it's true, it has to be realized which guy. It's like Hefker, so to speak. It's like owned by the Kohen. But who's going to get it? So whichever guy goes and grabs it, he realizes it's Chos Mamon. Chos Mamon becomes realized through him. He makes Kenyan on it. It's like it's his. It just has to be, he has to be Zocha. He has to be the one to pick it up. You know, but there's a Bailus already. But it doesn't really belong to the Yisrael. Okay, from the get-go. Well, yeah, because he's gonna have to. Then he's still gonna have to separate it. He's still gonna have to separate it and then actually hand it over because it's in part. It's part of the animal, so it's the whole animal. The coin picks it up.
Yeah.
But then the coin, he can't start going and chopping up the guy's animal.
Right.
That's not his.
Just
well, the one part of it.
Oh,
well, you can't exactly just take it's not like, you know, you can't just rip out the zoo. Like, okay, we have to start chopping up the whole animal.
Because practically things are in the
way? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not the animal as an entity. It's like the animal belongs to the Yisrael, but the Kohen has his chus in a certain chalakim of it. It's not like a... Right, it's like there's an animal as a whole, and there's a part. There's an animal, and then there's individual parts of the animal. The animal as a whole is, it belongs to the Yisrael. I mean, I think. I mean, I don't know if the facts are or whatever, but it sounds like that's what's happening. He has to be made his mafresh. I mean, he's made mafresh. He has to cut it apart. It's, I don't think the guy now says, since I own part of it, now he can start going in there and start chopping it up. Because the basic bialis of the animal is to the Yisrael, and he has this chus in a component, in a small component of it. So he's in charge still. Overall thing, I mean, he can't now just take the animal to China with him on his business trip because he has a real chayim and kevim. You know, it's still the bialis in the animal as a whole. You know, and the way it resolves itself is bialis on the animal, but then there's this chus in individual components. You know, which has a din mamonas reality, but this still doesn't, the animal, given that it's all attached, it's like conceptually separated, but practically it's attached. Now the bialis, the control over the animal is to the one who really has the primary, you know, bialis on the animal as an entity. Okay, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is not. Is that really the Torah didn't create the Zechus Malon. The Torah obligated you to create a Zechus Malon. It says it's yours. It's your produce. Be mafresh. Separate it out and give him a Zechus Malon. And your hafrasha does that. Being mafresh, it says, separates it out and says, this is mine, this is us. It's like the action of hafrasha separates it out and creates the Zechus Malon on the kohen, and then I realize that Zechus Malon through giving it to him. So it's like the hafrasha gives it, you know, you're chayev to do it, and you're omeid to do it, there's a chayev to do that, but when you do it, the hafrasha itself creates the Zechus Malon, that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to create the Zechus Malon and then give it to him. You know, mafresh it and say, separate it out from you and give it to him, and then actually physically do that. So the hafrasha itself is what creates the Zechus Malon. Okay, but it's not, there's no Zechus Malon prior to hafrasha. It's lo hormo. Atonos lo hormo, lav kamish hormo damian. You haven't yet been mar in that. You haven't yet created the Zechus Malon. So you just chayev to. So therefore, if someone damages it, it's my thing, 100%. I have a chiv to give him a Zechus Malon, but until that happens, it's mine. And if a kohen just goes and picks up my animal, it's very nice, it's my animal. I have a chiv, it's very nice, I have a chiv to give him a Zechus Malon, but there's no Zechus Malon until the Afrasha, until the Arama. So that's the question. Do you say Matan Shalom Hormu, Kamish Hormu, if you're a Meir Amit, everyone agrees it's Zechus Malon. But do you say that even before a Meir Amit, there's Zechus Malon? Even beforehand, the Torah creates the Zechus Malon intrinsically. Right, or you have to actually create it through the mice of being mafresh. You know what I mean? Yeah. So when does this Zechus Malon can be created, according to the side that says it's Kamish Hormu Damian? Right.
Right before.
Well, once it's ready for hafrasha. What I was just saying is like when it's ready to be mufresh, it's all made to be separated. Sometimes the thing is like there. So now the mitzvah, now the Torah says this is his. Now you're chayev. In other words, the Torah is making it his, and then you're chayev to be mafresha, realizing it. And there's the hafrasha, and the giving it to him is the realization of the Zechus Malon. So the Zechus Malon comes about once he's once the thing is in a state that it's ready to. And the Zechus Malon is what moves you to be mafresha and to do it. So it's like once it's fully processed and ready to go, unless, you know, now you're ready basically to take it in and bring it to your house. Once it's ready. Then the Torah gives it, right when it becomes ready, the Torah gives him a schus, and now you have to realize it. And I think it's Rashi here in Kedushin says, it's the case there is where it belongs to a Kohen. Because a Kohen has to do is he also has to be mafreshit, and then just keep it for himself. Okay, so it says it's, right, the Kohen has to, if a Kohen has his trumos, then he has to be mafreshit and then keep it for himself. So the question is, if he did that, if he didn't yet mafreshit and give it to himself, and then he dies, and his Yisrael grandson from his mother, from his daughter, inherits them, so then he's going to take on the same status. So literally, Rashi says, Holvo medes litrum and nigram alach talakach, so it's omei to be Torah, and it's completed. So the Kohen is Zocha in his life, in the Truma. Right? The Kohen is Zocha in the Truma, and he's alive. Because all he has to do is merely be mafreshit and take it for himself. Av Yorish Zad, so to the Yorish, Yafreshanim Yikrenal Kohanim. All he has to do is separate it and give it to himself to the Kohanim. Okay, so I'm just saying it's like there's a Lashon of Lafrisho Lakaim Alatzma, or Lafrisho give it to the Kohanim. It's like that's all there is to do. It's like there's a lot. It's a little complicated with the case, but he's like, all he has to do is to be mafreshit. It's like, what does it mean? All he has to do, because it's like it's already, he already has this Zechus Malon. It's kamish hormo damian. All you have to do is to. It's like two steps: separate it and give it. So that's what showing me your point. What you say? It's like the hafrasha according to the side of kamish hormo damian is like part of the giving. It's like you're separating and giving. Whereas opposed to according to the other side, if you say La'av Kamish Hormu Damian, the hafrasha is what creates the Zechus Malon, and then the giving it is the realization. And the same thing could work. It doesn't matter, per se, if it's matanos or if it's matanos, which are fixed objects, or if it's the tshuma percentage. Because he'll say, also, once I'm chayiv, once I process my stuff, the kohen has a zechus in 10% of my stuff, or the levi is, you know. Doesn't have to be, I mean, there's room to question it, but it doesn't essentially matter. Question, yeah, same question by matanos or by tshuma. How the Torah set it up? Is it that I have to give him 10%? Or it's not, the Torah was mocking it in 10%, and I just have to realize that's less. You know, it doesn't matter. Same question could apply by both. Problem is going to be, this is what I haven't really worked out yet, is why it's different by Chaz V'Shok. Like, what's that exclusion? Because by Chaz V'Shok, it's not to the Kohanim, it's only to the Beis Av. To the particular Beis Av. But still, so say the Torah say the same question. Does the Torah say that the Beis Av has a Kenyan in my thing? And I just have to realize it, or do I have to give it to the Beis Av? Well, I mean, who cares whether it's to the unit of Kohanim or if it's to the specific family of you know, who's on call in the Mikdash today? I mean, I don't see why that should make a difference. I mean, it seems like, and they wouldn't naturally, the Torah's leaving. Oh, by the way, forget about that. That problem is a problem. I have to explain it. But this is why it's saying Zeya Mishpat Kohanim. I mean, this is the limit from Mishpat. That it's saying is that there's Mishpat. Because it's a funny case. That's what Mishnah was telling you. If you separate it and then the Kohen, if it's not separated, the Kohen grabs it while it's alive and then you withhold it, you give it back and withhold it from him, then he could sue you in court. Like with Dayanim, it's like a funny thing. But it's teaching you the concept is Mishpat means that he really has Chos Mamon in it. Now it's true, the Kohanim have a Chos Mamon, that's what it's telling you. There's a mishpat. There's intrinsically a chos mamon. Now, this chos mamon can't be realized because it's me'al mashen latovim, because it's chos mamon of the shevet. So the only way they're not going to be able to sue you, but the only way they will be able to sue you is if a particular coin happens to get his hands on it when it's alive. He's going to be able to realize that chos mamon in him as an individual, and then he's going to be able to be tovea you afterwards to, you know, through mishpat. Because there's like a problem, there's like an impediment to the mishpat being realized. Because they have a chos mamon and they have a kinyan in it, but it can't, since it's not particularized, no one can sue you yet. You can't be motzi and dayanim. But if he picks it up and then you happen to get it, then he could. So it's like it's a funny case that realizes the application of the thing. But the concept is always applicable, that there's always a chos mamon. You know? And that's on that from mishpat, that there's a mishpat. It's teaching you that there's a mishpat of kohanim. Means they really mishpat a kohanim means it's they have a mishpat, they rightfully deserve it. So he's learning, does mishpat a kohanim mean the Torah made it theirs, they deserve it, it is theirs, or it's just saying it's a mishpat that you should make it theirs, but it's not actually theirs yet. That's what the limud is, a mishpat a kohanim. He's learning matanos din, means it's a din, it means there's really a din of elements reality to the thing, and that could actually be enforced. Practically a different problem in Latovim, but in the case where he grabs it, then you get around that problem. You know? And for some reason, that doesn't work by Chaz V'Shok. Okay, so Yehuda has a different spot. Okay, we'll leave the Chaz V'Shok problem. Maybe we'll talk about it soon, but I think I want to leave it for the weekend, but I'll hear what you have to say. Yeah, so Yehuda's different spot is that he's learning Matan Shel Horma Kamishon Damin in a much more literal sense. Which is that it means the matanos have, let's say by the Ezra Chaim Akeva, they haven't been separated yet. So it means right now you have an animal. You don't have Ezra Chaim Akeva, you have an animal, a carcass. Carcass is a carcass, it's a full animal. Okay, it's not, there's no Ezra Chaim Akeva. So now it's not separate parts, it's just an animal which is owned by the Ezra. Right? Now, so you'd say is that, you don't say the coin owns a part of it, it's a whole animal. Now, if you make a kinyan, like I could buy a component of your animal through a kinyan, I could say that. So if you explicitly single out a component of it through das and through, you know, through the terms of an agreement, then you could do that. But here, there's no terms of an agreement like that. It's just that there's a chiyav to be mafresh them. There's a chiyav which the chiyav makes the Zerul Chaim Akeva separate. So the question is do you say that right now I have an animal and therefore the bilus is a whole animal? But do you say that the chiyuv, which is like, no, it's a different framework. It's not the framework of mamonos. It's the framework of chiyuv, of a mitzvah. Do you say that the mitzvah of separating them out is, so to speak, singles out the Zerul Chaim Akeva as distinct components and thereby gives him a right, you know, like a den of bilus on those components? It's like you're saying, it's like everyone agrees like the Kohen really has a right to them and should have them. But it's like, you can only say he shouldn't have them and he has a kinyan in them if they exist. If they exist as distinct entities. He's saying is the fact that it's low hormu yet, so you may say they don't really exist yet. But what do you say? No, it's the Yemisha Mormon because of the chiyuv, because the mitzvah separates singles them out. The thing is, you'll have to say, though, is that if they do exist, then the Kohen... Oh, that was my question. If they do exist, then the Kohen already has a kinyan on them, which you have to explain how that works. Like, that's kind of then... I'm saying is that they do exist, but that itself is the question. Is okay, fine, they exist. So you better... Oh, fine. You know, your take is a given, that if they exist, the Kohen should have a kinyan. Torah, you know, the question is, do they exist? So we could the Torah do that? Yeah, I'm just saying the advantage... I mean, I think this... You're supposed to be tightened up a little bit, but an advantage, assuming you could do that, you have to work out some of the details. But assuming you could, I'm saying is what I like better about what he was saying is it's more plain in the Lashon. It's like matanos that haven't been separated, it's like they're separated. I'm learning that a little looser. Is that not that they're physically separated, but it means when they're separated themselves, there's a schlis mamon. And he's saying is if they're not yet separated, there is already a schlis mamon as if they were already separated. So it's like, you know, it's a little bit of a harder read in the Lashon, but I don't think it's bad, it's just a little harder. But I think an advantage of what I'm saying is it ties into, it's a fundamental question in the whole sugya about it. It's opening up how the matanos are working, and you know, and it is a universal question because you see this comes up all over the place. This thing, it's like it's a wide question, which is which seems to have a lot of application to different cases. So to say, you know, it's kind of, I feel like it's getting more to the heart of matanos, which again has pros and cons. Yeah. Okay, but either way, so I think what I'd like to do is try to work on this Chaz V'Shog problem. I'd like to think about this problem, this Chaz V'Shog Rashi thing, and then I want to do that Tosas Baba Masra. I think that's where it is. Because he wants to differentiate between the Mimsak, between the thing which is in the Suyam, like the Chaz V'Shog, the Zerul Haim Keva, versus the Truma, where it's not a fixed entity. So it's in Baba Basra, Kuf Chaf Gimel Mabez. The cassava. I think there's only two toasts on that page. You can't miss it. Okay. Yeah, the Gemara here, the Mesorah Shas and Kedushin and Nunchasim cites that toast. Maybe that's the one Rabbi Kiva Eger cites. I mean, it's like, you know, it's one of those sources.